Hey everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast. Today we're speaking with someone we haven't spoken to in about a year or so. He's the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey has worked for junior explorers, major mining companies, private companies, and investors as a consulting economic geologist for decades. And you listeners out there have probably seen him interviewed on CNBC and Fox News, Fox Business News, I should say, among many other places. And, you know, Mickey, the reason I wanted to have you back is because I remember we did an interview in early 2011, and you were actually bearish on commodities. And maybe not outright bearish, but you were certainly cautious because we'd had such a great run. I mean, you know how cyclical the industry is. And, you know, here we are almost 2 years later, and you know, the junior sector is obviously down in the dumps, and prices of most commodities are significantly lower. So that was a great call on your part. Maybe as we get started here, you could just provide us some general comments on what you're seeing in the commodities and junior space.
Yeah, well, the idea that we were going to take a little downturn was pretty easy to call because everything, especially gold stocks, looked very overbought in early 2011 to me. Since that period of time, most of the commodities more or less have flatlined or at least become range bound. And we see that all the way from oil and gas to copper to the precious metals. The only one that's really taken a big dive is uranium, and we got hit with a black swan known as Fukushima, so that certainly was not predictable. Equities started going down after topping in early March of 2011. It's been pretty brutal out there since then for the junior resource stocks, and especially the gold explorers, which have lagged behind. I think that's because they have historically, at least in this boom, overpromised and underdelivered.
So, before we get to precious metals, I mean, let's talk about the commodity space as a whole. I mean, I know it's hard to predict the short term, but to me, obviously, we're still in a secular bull market. I think you believe that. You know, and everybody's long-term bullish, but I think we have to quantify that. So maybe if we quantify that to the next maybe 9 months or a year or so, or maybe we could just say, you know, inside of the next 18 months or so, do you think we can see the commodity sector have a big turn? I mean, what drivers are you going to be looking for?
Well, I don't see a big turn. When you really look at it, Jordan, metals prices, energy prices, precious metals prices have all maintained relatively high levels. What we've seen is a very tepid economy with a slowdown in China and quantitative easing on both sides of the pond. So the world economy is not functioning particularly well. I don't think you can say it's particularly ill, but it might have a case of blahs. We only have to look at the price of copper over the last couple of years to convince ourselves of that. So going forward, I see no major catalyst going to move the markets up or down shy of some black swan event. And so I am looking for the commodities to be range bound, let's say over the midterm, which I would probably define over the next year. Certainly with quantitative easing, we can expect gold to continue on its upward journey. It's been a pretty easy prediction over the last 12 years to say that gold is going to end the year higher than it started the year. And so I would say that's likely to happen in 2013 just because fiat currencies are being devalued, and that's positive for the price of gold and whatever currency you want to look at.
So, I mean, in regards to most of the gold stocks, I mean, the juniors and the intermediates and large caps, they've all really struggled here. I mean, you do believe gold is going to go higher. Is that going to be the catalyst for the stocks to get back in a bull market, or is it going to be something else? Do we have to see a lot more discoveries and then people get more excited? I mean, what are you looking for all of the mining stocks to get back on track?
Well, let's restrict those comments to gold first, and the fact that gold is, we think, will be higher a year from now than it is today, is based on the idea of devaluing currency. So in terms of absolute price of gold, it's, I think, going to be flat. Can that be a catalyst for the gold stocks? I don't think so. The gold stocks, the miners, have underperformed as a sector on the idea of growth and more gold production, and that's come at the cost of higher operating costs and higher capex. That has a lot to do with energy inputs, the creeping capex of all projects worldwide. The juniors historically, and I've already said this once, have underperformed and overpromised time and time again. Discovery is being rewarded. We saw three or four stocks over the course of this field season with new high-grade or very robust intercepts, drill intercepts, and those discoveries have been rewarded. So what we've ended up doing is we're separating the wheat from the chaff. Most of the companies out there don't really belong. They need to go away, and the companies that are good will shine in a market like this. Although when you really get into a phase like we're going through now with tax loss selling and reaction to Obama's election and higher capital gains taxes, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. So in the short term, I'm looking for buying opportunities here over the next 5 to 6 weeks, and I would really expect a rise in the junior resource market as a whole post January 1.
Now, before we get a little specific on that, just taking part of your answer and moving it forward. So, I mean, let's just fast forward maybe 6 or 9 months or a year from now. Do you think the all of the surviving companies that are out there, especially on the exploration side, do you think those are going to benefit down the line because they've been able to survive, you know, 07, 08, and now, you know, what's happened in the last year or so?
Well, it certainly will weed out the bad companies, and we're seeing this now. I mean, I'm looking at my portfolio on the screen right now, and I hold something on the order of somewhere between 30 and 35 stocks, and I've got a few junior explorers and developers that are fundamentally strong with good share structures, good people advancing their projects, and they've held up relatively well during this, what we're going on since March of 11, so that's something on the order of 22 months of what could be classified as a bear market. And although they haven't seen their normal doubles that we would expect in a bull market, we don't see those ski jump sort of downhill charts which characterize many of the juniors. And so it's a survival of the fittest right now, and I'm convinced that the good companies will come out of the back end of this, whenever that is, stronger companies and better companies, and continue to advance their projects and reach milestones.
You know, one thing that I've noticed, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because, I mean, you know, I'm primarily a chartist, so, you know, one thing I've done in the last year, I looked back and I tried to figure out, okay, when do the large producers outperform, you know, when do the intermediates outperform, when do the explorers, and it's very interesting, every time gold has had a major breakout to a new all-time high, that tends to be the time when the exploration side and the juniors really outperform. So, I mean, going forward, if we see gold break above 1800 or 1900 and kind of get to the 2000s, do you think that will be enough to reignite the junior market, or will we need to see a lot more discoveries and execution on that side?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. If gold makes another jump, like it did over the course of about 10 days in late August and early September. Certainly those ramp-ups, if you will, or those stair steps up are very good for the explorers. I have a feeling that when gold hits $2,000 an ounce, and if it can stay there, and I have no idea when that's going to be, despite all the gold bugs predictions, I've been one to say it's not going to happen anytime soon, but we get closer and closer to the day that it will. It needs to stay there, and I think that will be a big psychological boost to the market. A bunch of Americans who hear about all the gold news and the idea that it is the only money on the planet, and they see all the commercials of cash for gold and buy this coin and that coin at astounding markups. Once gold hits that psychological barrier, and if it can stay there and establish a base, I think that's going to wake up a significant amount of the investing public.
Okay, now a couple more questions for you before we get to maybe specific companies, and we're talking about gold here. Aside from precious metals, looking at all the other commodities, what is your favorite one or two for the next 12 or 18 months?
Well, I'm always a contrarian, so I look at things that are out of favor, and the uranium sector has been extremely beaten up, and I've been picking off uranium companies all season long since the summer doldrums, and there are still some very undervalued uranium advanced explorers and developers and producers. So I always have that on my watch list. Who knows how long it's going to take, but there, you know, the world still produces 15% of its electricity comes from nuclear. And one out of every five people that flips a light switch in the U.S. does it from nuclear power. So I look at that. I'm always looking for good copper companies. And copper has maintained at least. And so you want to look for low-cost producers in that sector. Starting to look at natural gas, it's starting to move. It still is depressed, but it's moved up from about $2 a million BTUs to last I saw earlier in the week was about $3.74, I think, perhaps on Monday. So being a contrarian, I like to look at things that are out of favor or markets that are starting to move. And then, of course, always gold is always on my list of commodities of interest.
Let me follow up on uranium, because obviously the long-term fundamentals of that market are very strong, as you noted, but it's been so weak recently. I mean, do you see any catalysts in the next year that can get that market to move?
Well, there's been some excuses, specifically with increased DOE sales through a barter situation, which is really designed to preserve 800 union jobs in Portsmouth, Ohio, and the cleanup of that facility there. And I think that was really motivated by Obama's desire to capture Ohio. In addition, there has been some enrichment uranium put on the market from the Paducah, Kentucky plant. So it's been a U.S. government situation with violating their agreement with the Uranium Producers of America to not disrupt spot markets and to only sell 5% of U.S. Annualized use into that market on any given year. That's jumped up to 18%. So that combined with 10% less demand post-Fukushima, basically because of something on the order of 48 of 52 nuclear reactors in Japan remain offline. That equates to about 10% of annual demand. So that explains the weakness. The time frame for rebound in the uranium spot price, I really don't know, but I'm encouraged by the fact that it's bounced off the $40 level. It never really got below that, so it's up around $42 right now. But at that price, no new uranium mines are going to be economic. When that happens with increasing demand on a yearly basis, production is not going to be developed. So it's strictly a supply-demand fundamental thing. The time frame for a boisterous uranium market is unknown to me, but I've been known many, several times in the past to bang in on the uranium drum ahead of when it happens, but it's allowed me to position myself and be ready for when it does with the stocks I hold.
And just real quickly, yeah, I know the spot price there, you said bounce off 40. Isn't the long-term price much higher? Hasn't that held more?
Yes, it is. It remains about $60. So the uranium's long-term contract price is certainly much better. But then again, any conventional uranium mine, whether it be an open pit or underground mine, is going to need something likely on the order of $70 to $80 a pound to be economic. So we see new ISR producers coming on board, but they're basically treading water at $40 spot uranium price. So, you know, the economics of new development does not look good right now, and that's going to result in supply destruction in the midterm, and if there's not enough supply, then the price goes up.
Right. Now, Mickey, is it possible that you can give us maybe a couple names, a couple juniors, in regards to maybe, you know, all the commodities you're talking about, just maybe a couple juniors that you own or you're watching?
Yeah, I'll give you probably about four or five juniors here. And I own these stocks, and they are sponsors of my website, so they actually pay to have my coverage, but I'm a dedicated shareholder of all these companies, and they have been relatively good performers in this very bad market. So in gold space, I would say take a look at Brazil Resources Inc., BRI on the venture, Mawson Resources with their finished high-grade Bonanza gold uranium discovery. That's MAW, and that's on the Toronto Big Board. In copper space, I am a committed shareholder of Curis Resources, a new soon-to-be ISR producer of copper in southeast Arizona. We expect a pre-feasibility study on that out within, well, let's say it's imminent. I got in early in the graphite game with one particular stock, that's Flinders Resources, and graphite was probably one of the shortest-lived little price bubbles we've ever seen, but Flinders is fully permitted and fully financed to production, and we anticipate full commercial production in Q1 of 2014, if not before. So I've given you four ideas here. All four of those stocks have done relatively well in this bear market, and I think they're posed for upticks whenever the market turns around. And actually, I think that's going to happen to some degree after the first of the year.
Okay, well, thanks for those, Mickey. And before we close here, why don't you let our listeners know your website address and the work you do there. And I think you have a free email list they can sign up for. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I run a sponsor model, which allows me to give my somewhere on the order of 6,700 subscribers free access to everything I do. And I can be reached at mercenarygeologist.com. I also run a website in simplified Chinese for a bilingual audience, and that's mercenarygeologist.asia. My Twitter feed, and we are now just over 21,000 Twitter followers in about 2 years of having this going, at mercenarygeo. And everybody can listen to me 24/7 on our internet radio station, mercenarygeologist.fm, and of course this interview will be posted as soon as we get it from you.
All right, Mickey, well, thanks so much for your time today and your analysis. I really appreciate it, as do my listeners, and look forward to having you back maybe in the next month.
Well, that's always a pleasure, Jordan, and let's make sure we don't wait as long as we did for this one.
Absolutely, Mickey. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jordan.